You're listening to Radio Boston. Last summer, WBUR investigations correspondent Todd Wallach uncovered thousands of vacancies in Massachusetts' public housing system. That was despite heavy demand and long wait lists for subsidized housing. And since then, he has heard anger from people like Graciela Carter, a homeless mom who's couch surfing with her five-year-old son.
I can't make anyone give me an apartment. All I can do is apply, but if no one offers me an apartment and you have just vacant units, like, it's clear that it's broken.
So Todd's latest reporting reveals that despite a pledge from state officials to fill more units, the number of public housing vacancies has barely budged over the last 6 months. Todd's here in Studio 2 to tell us more about it. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here again.
It's great to have you. So listen, I want to go back and recap the original reporting that started all of this, right? So your story comes out. It's last September. Tell us, why does the state own property and what did you find?
Yeah, exactly. So one thing we talked about before is Massachusetts is kind of unusual in having this big system of state-owned public housing. It's one of only four states that has it, and it has far more units than any other state, over 41,000. But I found that nearly 2,300 of these subsidized apartments were sitting vacant. And of course, that's at a time when shelters are overflowing, the governor's declared a state of emergency because of the lack of housing, and we all know how expensive housing is and how difficult it is for people to afford it. So that was just shocking.
What kind of vacancy are we talking about? A month? 2 months? A year?
It varies, but most are beyond the 60 days that the state normally expects agencies to fill units. And some have been vacant for years and years and years.
And why? Did you get a sense in that original reporting? Remind us what you found about why.
Absolutely. Several problems. One is that the state wait list for people, which has 180,000 people, has all sorts of problems that local housing agencies say make it really hard to find tenants to fill these empty units. Another problem is a lot of units need repairs. Some are uninhabitable. And even when they're approved for renovations, those projects take years and years and years. And another issue is some local housing agencies have decided on their own to start using some of the units for storage, for offices. Somerville's even using one for a police station.
All right. So that's what comes out last September. Shortly after your story first published, we asked Governor Healey here on the show about it. Here is what she said.
This is not news to me. We identified it. Secretary Augustus and his team are focused on it. You know, again, I'll also say it's just really important that we build more housing here across the state, and it will provide relief, and then the public housing system won't be as burdened.
Now, long-term relief, the governor has filed a $4 billion bond bill aimed at stimulating housing production. It proposes up $1.6 billion for the repair, rehabilitation, and modernization of the state's public housing units. But there was some short-term effort that the state committed to as well after your story came out, yes?
Absolutely. So one of the things the state promised to do is hire an outside marketing company to help sort through this big backlog of over 45,000 requests for priority for people trying to move up the wait list. Another thing is they announced a 90-day push to try to help local housing agencies fill these units by offering them extra assistance, meeting with them regularly, and providing them money for overtime so that they could help turn around units that only needed small repairs or help to find tenants.
Okay, so a 90-day push would take us roughly into the beginning of January. So you decided to check, right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most important things we can do as reporters is follow up what our public officials and agencies have said and pledged to do.
So what'd you find?
So we found that the number of vacancies hasn't declined that much. So there's still over 2,200 vacancies, and the net number of declines has only changed by 72.
So let me get this straight, because so net number, what you mean is that overall, maybe more declined, but then some added to vacancies. So overall, there are only 72 fewer vacant properties owned by the state now than when you did your reporting in September.
Absolutely. It's only a small change in the scheme of things.
Why?
There are a number of reasons. So one is that there's still these same problems with the state wait list. Agencies in Agawam and Fall River and elsewhere say it's still too hard to find tenants. There's lots of names on the list that are outdated. They can't reach people. They don't qualify for the units. There are a lot of the same problems that we found. There's still all these units, more than 100, being used for offices and other things. And there's still lots of units that need repairs and are still sitting.
So I want to play a little sound from your story of you talking with Graciela Carter, who we played at the, you know, at the beginning of this, and who was talking to you about a really profound sense of urgency.
So how soon do you need
today
a permanent place?
Yesterday. 3 months ago.
I underscore that, Todd, because what's playing across this backdrop of this time frame is, of course, we have seen the state's emergency shelter system become tapped out. Governor Healey in November declared a wait list. We have, a budget crisis around housing. The governor did put the $4 billion bond bill on the table. Things have changed. This hasn't. What are you hearing from the state?
Yes, great question. I interviewed Housing Secretary Ed Augustus. He said the numbers are moving in the right direction, and last year was actually the first time they have on record that the number of vacancies has declined. And he seemed surprised to hear that local housing agencies still have complaints about the state wait list called CHAMP.
I'm not suggesting that all of the challenges have been taken care of, but I've been in 22 housing authorities, big and small, in the last 3 months, and they've all told me they've seen improvements in the CHAMP system.
Still, after that interview, the state sent an email to local housing directors noting they're still far short of their goals in filling these vacancies. In the medium term, they want to fill more than a couple hundred. In the long term, they want to fill nearly 1,000. It's not just normal churn that happens. There are fundamental problems that are keeping some of these vacancies. And they also promised to take some more steps. They promised to continue to give extra funding beyond the original 90 days to local housing directors. And they promised to monitor vacancies more closely than they had been.
We're speaking with WBUR Investigations correspondent Todd Wallach, who did a report following up on the original investigation last fall that identified about 2,300 vacancies in the state's public housing stock. There was a 90-day commitment from the state to try to drive that number down, and you found only a net change of just a little bit over 70 after that 90-day window. So, Todd, what I just keyed in on and part of your answer was Housing Secretary Ed Augustus saying, did I hear you correctly, that this was the first time he'd seen the number go down?
Yes, absolutely. The state gave me numbers back to 2016, which is as far back as they've been tracking it. And every year, the numbers had gone up. And the numbers have gone up quite a bit since they introduced the state wait list in 2019. And local housing directors said they've had more and more and more problems finding tenants from the wait list to fill these empty units.
Okay, so this state wait list thing is also something I want to key in on, because I noticed that you talked to some sort of local leaders who feel like this is a part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say, everyone seems to agree that the state wait list is a problem. There is disagreement. There are some people who think they need to overhaul the state wait list and fix the problems. And there's some local officials who wish they could go back to the days when they each managed their own local wait list. That includes Agawam Housing Director Maureen Kerr.
Bring it back to local control. Let us do our jobs. Let me put families in these units.
Of course, there are reasons why the state created a statewide list in the first place. It used to be really hard for people to apply for state public housing. They would have to go to each individual housing agency separately, often in person, often they weren't online, and there are 230 local housing agencies that manage public housing. So it's a lot of different places.
So if I wanted to live anywhere in a region, I would have before had to apply in every single community in that region.
Absolutely. And often you would have to go to the offices or find out where the forms are. It was really hard. There were also suspicions about local corruption. and whether housing directors were giving units to their friends or family, and a statewide list was intended to try to ease those concerns.
Todd, what did you think you were going to find when you did this? What was your sort of hypothesis when you did this follow-up?
I thought that the numbers would go down much more significantly because the state made an announcement that they were making a major effort to try to reduce the vacancies. State Housing Secretary Ed Augustus said it was appalling. Clearly, as we heard, the governor was concerned about it. So it seemed that they were making efforts to actually address the problem. So I was surprised to see that the net number of vacancies only declined by 72, and there's still over 2,200 vacancies, including in Agawam. There are a pair of three bedrooms that are sitting side by side that have been vacant since 2021.
So is your takeaway that the state's not trying hard enough, or that this is gnarly and hard, or both?
I think that the problem proved to be more complicated than they realize. Part of it is things are often a little challenging in government. You have laws and regulations you have to deal with. And in this case, you have both the state setting some overall rules, and you also have 230 local housing agencies actually implementing it and managing it, some of which don't have much in the way of staff and resources. Sometimes they misunderstand how to use the system. It just shows it's a little complicated, and there's also disagreements about how to fix fundamental problems like the wait list.
Do we know right now what happened to Graciela Carter?
Oh, yes. So she has been couch surfing. She was evicted from her apartment in October. And since then, it's been really hard. I mean, she often has to stay at a different place every night. For a while, she would sometimes have to leave her child with friends or family and then sleep in her car before her car got repossessed. She worries about how she's going to put her kid in school. He's supposed to start kindergarten in the fall. And it's really difficult when she's moving to different towns every day or every month.
Todd Wallach is investigations correspondent here at WBUR. I know you're going to keep following this, and we're going to look forward to talking to you after the next story. Thanks.
I hope I have better news next time.